Bible, and maybe know where we're going, and we're trying to get through this study on the fruit of the Spirit, and this is our fifth message upon these two verses that we read each Wednesday night, and we look again in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22, and here the Scripture gives us the fruit of the Spirit is, and then lists a number of different things, nine different things that are a part of, or different aspects, avenues of the fruit of the Spirit. You'll find up above that in the verses 17 through 21, you'll find the works of the flesh and how different that is from the fruit of the Spirit. But we're dealing now with this thing of the fruit or the bearing of a child of God, the Christian, and the fruit that comes from the Spirit of the Lord. Galatians 5:22, the Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now we've read these verses every service, every Wednesday night that we've looked at this fruit of the Spirit, and we'll continue to do so. This is number 5. We've got 4 more to go, and so we'll be looking at these verses for at least another 4 weeks, and be dealing with this portion of Scripture that deals with the fruit of the Spirit, the working, the action of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of the believer. I'm glad tonight we have the Holy Spirit. He guides us and directs us. He brings us into paths of righteousness for the namesake of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't do it for our namesake. He does it for the Lord's namesake. And, of course, that has much to bear upon our heart and minds as a child of God. So we've dealt with the thing of love. We've dealt with joy. We've dealt with peace. And last time was long-suffering. Tonight we deal with the word gentleness or kindness. They're one and the same. And we'll be using those two words interchangeably tonight as we have this study. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Now, I believe probably there's many Christians, including myself, that needs to really deal in this thing of being gentle or being kind. The Bible tells us to be kind one to another. And so one of the fruit or one of the actions or the avenues of the working of the Holy Spirit of God in our life is He brings about a gentleness to us. I know a lot of abrasive people. I know a lot of people that are simply obnoxious and they call themselves Christians. And we need to find a place for this thing of gentleness in the work and in the life of a believer, of a child of God. And so tonight we want to deal with this thing of kindness or this subject of gentleness as one of the areas of the fruit of the Spirit. As we've tried to point out each time, there's not 9 fruits of the Spirit. There's one fruit. It all works interchangeably together. And these different things that are mentioned are different avenues or aspects, characteristics of a child of God in his life. As a believer, how that ought to be working in his life to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, all those things, then that'll show the world that you have something different than they have. The world has the works of the flesh, and those things are listed there in verses 19, 20, 21. Talks about idolatry and talks about murder, drunkenness, reveling, all those different works of the flesh. And if a person sees you as a Christian, as a believer, and those things are not in your life as active and working and a part of your life, and you have just the opposite of that, you have gentleness, you have goodness, you have long-suffering, you have love and joy and peace and temperance, self-control, all those things, if that's working in your life, that'll show them there's a complete opposite of a believer and a non-believer. You see, a child of God is at opposite ends of the pole, you might say, of a non-believer. We have different ideas. We have a different destiny. We have a different life style. We have a different way of living. And these things are pointed out in the fruit of the Spirit as the Spirit of God deals with us and helps us in our Christian walk of life. Now, we must notice, first of all, the purpose of this gentleness or the purpose of kindness. If you would turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3 and verse number 12. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Here we're finding that Paul, writing to the church of Colossae, and he tells them in verse number 8, he says, "Now also put off all of these." He says, "Put off anger, put off wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man." So you see there, immediately the apostle is telling us that we put off some things, and in putting that off, we put on something that's new. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that we that are saved, we are new creatures in Christ. We are different. And here we put off these things of anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy, communication that's filthy and lying. Put off that. That's part of the works of the flesh. And it says, put on the new man. And then it says in verse number 12, it says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Now here, there's what we are. We are the elect of God. People get scared of that word elect, but we are the elect of God. God in His grace and mercy came to us, and we believed upon Him, and we have been chosen of the Spirit of God to have the salvation of the Lord in our coming to Him and accepting Jesus Christ. We are the elect of God, and He says here that not only that, but we are holy and beloved of God. We are holy, not in our righteousness, not in ourself, but we're holy because of Him, and we're beloved because of Him. Put on, because of all of that, we're the elect, we're holy, we're beloved. Put on bowels of mercy, kindness. There's that word, kindness. Put that on. Humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity or put on love. Now, you'll find that when you're dealing with the fruit of the Spirit, they're so interchangeable. You cannot have kindness tonight unless you have the love of God. You can't have gentleness unless you have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have that humbleness and meekness and long-suffering. All of those things are listed as part of the fruit of the Spirit. And you can't have that without the grace of God working and active in your life. And he says in verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. So we find that God tells us here in the book of Colossians, really He restates it with added things to it, what the fruit of the Spirit does. Above all these things, all this comes about because of gentleness and the work of the Spirit of God in our life and in our actions of life. You see, kindness or gentleness is more than just words. I give a good illustration. I believe the Scripture gives a good illustration. It uses something different than kindness or gentleness. It uses this thing of faith. But if you turn over to the book of James, chapter number 2, you'll find that James is talking about faith. Now, we can talk about being kind. We can talk about being gentle. We can talk about being humble and having all the meek spirit about us. We can talk about that all you want to. But if you don't have it, it doesn't mean a whole lot. And so we find that kindness is more than just words. Kindness deals in deeds and actions of you and I. Now the Bible tells us in James chapter 2, verse 14, talking upon this subject of works and faith, James says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, and be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? And then he goes on and says in verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now here James tells us that if we're going to do and mean anything in the work of God, it has to be not only a lip service, but it has to have some action to it. It has to have some ability. It has to have something that's working in our life. James said, you can tell me you've got faith all you want to. It's like telling a brother or sister that's naked in the cold and telling them, well, God bless you, be warmed, and not doing anything to help them. It doesn't do much for them when you just have lip service. And James says, you say that you do that. He says, what doth it profit? How's it going to help that individual? How's it going to help that person that has need of things, that child of God that has a need, that's a real need? How's that going to profit them if you just say, God bless them, and don't do anything about it? And so we find the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And what does it profit if we just say we have gentleness, but and then do not show it? And so he says, thou sayest, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. You see, works and faith go hand in hand. Now, an individual is not saved by works. An individual is saved by faith. We're born again into the family of God, not by what we do, but it's by what we believe. It's by what we trust, by who we trust. We're not birthed into the family of God by holding on or holding out and doing the best we can and turn over a new leaf and trying to clean up the outside. We're not saved that way. We're saved by putting our faith and trust in the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. And when He moves in our heart, then there's some actions that take place just automatically. God gives us something to do. God gives us a desire. God gives us a work. And James said, don't just talk about your faith, but do something about it. And I believe we could say, don't just talk about our gentleness and our kindness, but do something about that. There is the purpose of kindness, is that we be humble of mind, realizing that we're nothing without God. We're not anything. We're nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. And talks about that humbleness of mind, and talks about meekness, and putting on Jesus Christ, and long-suffering. Long-suffering is one of the things that we dealt with. There was a portion of that scripture that we dealt with last time, of being patient and long-suffering and needed. And it has to be if we're going to be kind and have gentleness of heart and mind in our life. So the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is actions. It's doing something that would tell people that we have more than what they have. It's not just in words, but it's in deeds. It's in actions of life. Then not only is there the purpose of gentleness, but there is the practice of gentleness, or the practice of kindness. Now, many of these verses we've already looked at. I believe we read this verse not too long ago, but we want to read it again because they're so closely related. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verse number 32. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. We're talking about kindness. We're talking about gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the last verse in that chapter, says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Amen. Here we find the practice of kindness is that we are to be kind one to another. We're not to be that abrasive, that obnoxious individual. I've heard people get up and preach, and I would agree with many of the things, and maybe all the things that they said, but I didn't like the way they said it. And it makes a difference. Amen. It makes a difference in the way you say things. You can go tell somebody you love them and be frowning, and go tell somebody you love them and be crying. It'll make a difference in their life. It'll make them know you mean it if you have a compassionate heart and have a consideration one to another. It says, "And be ye kind one to another." A Spirit-filled Christian is considerate of both Christians and sinners. Now get that straight, get that right. If we are a child of God that is having and does have the work of God in our life and the Spirit of God dealing and the fruit of the Spirit, we're going to be kind, not to just those that love us, but we'll love those that hate us. We'll love those that would despitefully use us. And I'll tell you what, that's hard to do. That's difficult. But the Spirit of God can help you do that. The Spirit of God can help you have the right attitude toward those that don't like you. And there's a lot of people, by the way, that don't like you just because you're a Christian. I mean, you may not know them, they may not know you, but if you tell them you're a Christian, immediately they put a barrier up. Immediately there's a wall put up there because they have in their mind some idea of what a Christian is that probably is not right to begin with, but as far as they're concerned, that's what you are. You have to break that wall down. You have to deal with that. You have to win their confidence. You have to be considerate of them. There's a lot of folks that have difficulties that have been literally implanted in their hearts and minds from time of childhood, and you have to deal with that. There's folks that are religious, and their religion will do nothing for them. Their religion will send them to hell. But you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to reach them. You're going to have to come to the point of understanding where they're coming from and what they have implanted in their life. It's been a part of them for all their life. And you have to deal with the Word of God and say, "God, break down that wall. Break down that barrier." And you'll never do it being obnoxious and abrasive and hateful and feeling like you're better and acting like you're better. You'll never do that. And that's why I believe the Scripture says that we're to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, I know that verse primarily is talking about Christians forgiving one another. And my, we could spend the rest of the time right there. We could spend the rest of 2 or 3 weeks right there, Christians forgiving Christians. Some of the most holder of grudges that I know of are Christians. If you ever do anything to cross them, I mean, you're just their enemy from now. Never forgive them. Well, that's wrong, and that's the wrong spirit to have. But I believe also we've got to have. There's got to be some kind of relationship between the child of God and the sinner. I know we're not to have dealings with them. I know what the Scripture says. You know what the Scripture says. We're not to be unequally yoked together. But there's got to be a way of reaching people. And I believe that first thing which we're dealing with tonight will reach many more people than the other ways. And that's of being gentle and kind in our attitude, in our life, our meeting people. I've gone on visitation with people that I was ashamed I was on visitation with them. I really have. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about different places. I go knock on a door, and all of a sudden they find out that this individual goes to a certain church. And boy, I mean, all of a sudden they go to work on that. That doesn't do any good.
Amen.
That doesn't do it. What you do then, you've built that wall up a little bit stronger. You've built that wall a little thicker, and you've hurt the cause that you're there for. I'll tell you what you need to do is talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. You talk about the Lord, He'll take care of that.
Amen.
You don't worry about the Baptist or some other thing. You don't have to worry. What you're there for is to talk to them about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity. And I know a lot of Baptists don't have an eternity that I have, and maybe you have. I know a lot of folks that call themselves Christians, and they're not. So it doesn't matter what we call ourselves, but we've got to call ourselves saved. That's the thing that matters. And so we find that to be considerate of others. It says, be ye kind one to another. Then that verse says tender-hearted. There's have not only I would have consideration, but have concern. Tender-hearted. How hard is your heart? How tender is your heart? Kindness leads to charity or love, and love leads to action. If you love someone, if you love an individual, if you love their soul, you're going to have action toward them. If you love someone, then there's action that is put into place and put into work because of that charity or that love that you have. It sees men's problems, and then it helps. The love of God that's in our heart sees the problems of the world and sees those around us. I tried to preach to our children, our kids this morning, in chapel. We deal with the world a lot, and we're far removed from the world. We deal with America a lot, and we're far removed from America, really, in our mind. But when we start dealing with individuals, that's where it really matters. When we bring it down home and this verse here brings it home, says be kind, be tender-hearted. I think a nation needs to be kind, but a nation can only be kind and tender-hearted when its people are. A church needs to be kind, a church needs to be tender-hearted, but a church is only what its people are. And so we find that the practice of kindness, day-by-day actions, we have considerate and be considerate of others and have consideration of Christians and sinners alike and tender-hearted that leads to a love of them. Do you see someone dying without God? Do you love them? Oh, we may not. We're not supposed to love their actions and their attitudes and their sins, but we're to love them. Jesus certainly didn't love our sins, but He loved us. He didn't love what we were, but He loved who we were and what we could be. He loved us as individuals, as people that were dying without Him, would be forgiving one another. That's Christ-like. Not only do we have consideration, not only do we have concern, but we'd be Christ-like in our attitude. We'd be looking and saying, what would the Lord do? If He met a sinner, what would He do? If He met a man that would buffet Him, what would He do? We know what He did. He turned the other cheek. We know what He did. He went to Calvary. We know what He did. He did not lambast and fight back at them. He literally forgave them. We need to be practicing the teaching of Christ and being forgiving in our attitude and our heart toward those. That's the practice of gentleness. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. Purpose is to bring an humble heart and humility. The practice is to be Christ-like in everything that we do. Let's notice how personal kindness and gentleness is. It's a personal thing. Through that, I believe we have to go back to 1 Corinthians again, chapter number 13. Again, we've read these verses time and time again. The fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. And we went to 1 Corinthians 13, read that whole chapter. Because that chapter is the love chapter. That chapter is the chapter on charity. And here, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church that had so many factions and so many problems. I mean, if you want to find a divided church, you read the book of Corinthians. It's beyond my thoughts why a new church would want to be started and called the Corinthian church. I've known some. I know some by that name. I don't know. I guess I wouldn't want to be classified a Corinthian. Because Paul took care of their needs and took care of their sin. And now he comes to this chapter 13 and he tells them how to keep it the way it ought to be. And it's through the charity of God or the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. He said, I don't amount to very much. The cymbal, the sounding brass. I wish I had a cymbal here. That doesn't have any music to it. Just take an old cymbal and hit it. It's just bong. But you put it with an orchestra, it means it has some emphasis and places emphasis in the right place. But just by itself is nothing. And Paul said, if I do all these things and don't have love, he said, I'm just like that old bong. Don't mean much. But if you have love with it, then it puts it in its right place and emphasizes what needs to be. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I'm nothing. He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. See, it doesn't matter how much we give away. It doesn't matter how much we do if we don't do it in the right spirit and the right heart. God doesn't make any note of that. But he comes to verse 4. Now notice here the second thing that's said about charity in verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is what? Kind. Gentle. The thing of kindness and gentleness is a personal thing. I mean, it's very, very personal. There's a patience of it. It's very patient. It's kind. We find that gentleness is not jealous. Charity vaunteth not itself, not puffed up. It doesn't behave itself unseemingly. It doesn't seek its own. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Kindness is never boastful. When a person is gentle and kind, they're not boastful of what they are. They usually don't want anybody to know what they've done. They'd rather be over on the sideline somewhere, nobody noticing them. They'd rather not be out in the forefront. Why? Because they have that humble spirit, that humble heart. They have that gentle spirit about them that they just want something to be done. And it doesn't matter to them who gets the glory. It doesn't matter to them who gets the amens and the applause. Just so it gets done. If they can help in that, then just don't make any mention of me. That's kindness. That's gentleness. There's the personality of it. There's where it comes down to you and I, of being that type of individual, that type of person. May God help us that we would have that in our life. And there's a pardon of kindness. And the Scripture says it doesn't hold the grudges. It bears all things and hopes all things, endures all things. And so we find there's a very personal relationship. Now, every one of us in here tonight, every how many there are, if we just count, every one of us are different in our attitudes. We all have different personalities. Just like I was talking to Brother Jerva that was here Sunday night. He said, traveling all over the country, he said, boy, I see a lot of different types of people. And I can imagine. He said, and whether we like to admit it or not, he said, every church has its own personality. Well, I've said that for years. I said, I'm glad to hear somebody else say that. Just different ways and different means of doing things. And you know what? Even though we may be different, we're getting the job done in different locations. Just because somebody doesn't do everything just like we do it doesn't mean they're wrong. And just because somebody does something that I think, boy, I couldn't do that. I just couldn't handle that. That wouldn't fit my style. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It might not work for me, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. And part of our growing and maturing in the Lord is realizing that God uses us for who we are. God uses us as an individual. God doesn't use me like He might use somebody else in town. God doesn't use somebody else in the state of Kentucky like He might use here. And this church, I guarantee you, is unique and different from every other church in the country. But it doesn't mean we're the only one right. Every church has its differences and different personalities and different ways of doing things. And we better realize that God uses us where we are, how we are, and despite of who we are, God uses us. And quit worrying about how everybody else does it and just do what God wants us to do. If the preachers around the country would just quit worrying about how everybody else does it and how they don't do it, and just get busy doing what God wants them to do, it'd be a lot better. I don't go to preachers' meetings. I haven't been one in a long time. Because I don't care how they do it. And it just doesn't bother me. And I'm not going to sit around and listen to how I ought to do it either. There's always somebody trying to tell you how you ought to do it. Well, just, I'm sure maybe I can take some instruction. I know, but man, let the Lord do it. Because everybody's got a different way. Everybody's got a different idea. And God says here that He uses us the way we are. That's the personality of it. We were talking, Brother Jervin and I were talking. Sunday morning, he was in Maranatha. Sunday night, he was here. He said, you're on one end of the town. He's on the other end of town. He said, you're both doing a job. He said, but your churches are different. Well, sure they are. If we wasn't different, there wouldn't be any need of having both of us. If everybody had the same ideas and the same way of doing, there wouldn't be any need. But I'll guarantee you there are folks at Maranatha, and I'm not saying anything, don't you take me wrong, there are folks in Maranatha that could not serve the Lord here. Just, it wouldn't fit what they want. And there's folks right here that wouldn't fit out there. It's not that we are that, we're not. We believe the same thing. We do the same thing. Brother Van and I are good friends, and we do things the same. But the personalities are different. And the ways of laying things out are different. And God, thank the Lord, He uses both of us. Both of our churches. Why? Because He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And folks get saved because we preach the gospel and the message and the story. So there's a personality that God uses us as individuals. You can read in the New Testament, and if a person read very long, you'll find out you may not know that the Apostle Paul wrote so many books of the Bible, but you read one book he wrote and you read another book he wrote, you'll find out there's a similarity there. That's why I believe Hebrews was written by Paul. There's a similarity there. Even though Hebrews doesn't say Paul wrote it, I believe he wrote it. If I'm wrong, the Lord will have to correct me when I get there. But I just believe He wrote it because of the similarity. God uses human instrumentality. That's why Matthew's gospel is different than John's gospel. That's why Mark is different than Luke and Matthew and John. That's why they're all different. God uses personalities. And in our kindness, God uses our personalities. Now, sometimes we need, I'll call it attitude this time, sometimes we need attitude adjustments. We just need our personality worked on. Some things adjusted, some things corrected. And the Lord does that by the work of God. What about the fruit of the Spirit of kindness? There's a purpose in it. There's a practice of it. There's a personality in it. And there's a proof in the Word of God that it works. I'm going to give you three or four proofs and then we're going to go home. We'll just mention them. How did kindness work in the Old Testament? Book of Genesis, chapter number 50. The last chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 50, verse number 18. Here you have the last portion of Joseph. That great man that had been in Pharaoh's court and had been trained in Pharaoh's ways. He was second in command. He had everything at his disposal. And he was there, first of all, because his brothers hated him. And Joseph comes down to verse number 18. The scripture says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face. And this is after they find out who he is and what all is taking place. And they said, behold, we be thy servants. Now notice here Joseph's proof of his kindness, how it works. And Joseph said to them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? He said, I'm where God wants me. He said, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And Joseph said, I'm not going to be Lord over you. Joseph said, I'm here by the appointment of God. And God, you thought it for evil. They said, God thought it for good. There's a proof of the kindness of a man of God. He says in verse number 5 of Genesis chapter 45, he says, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 7 says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." There's a proof of kindness. Now Joseph had every old human nature said, "I'll get them." My human nature would say, "My brother sold me as a slave and sold me into the Midianite camp, and I've been put in prison. I've been in Potiphar's house, and I've had all this happen to me. When I see my brothers, I'll get them." Joseph said, "Oh, you thought it for evil. God put me here." Amen. It was God that did it. Not only Joseph, but David. In 2 Samuel, chapter number 18, verse 5, David's own son has rebelled against him. David's own son Absalom is going to kill him. And David makes this statement. In verse 5 says, "And the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Hittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom." His own son trying to kill him, overthrow his government, take over the kingdom. And he says, deal kindly with him. Deal gently with him. Deal with him for my sake in a kind way. There's the proof of kindness. David could have said, "That renegade son, that rebel, go ahead and kill him. Get him out of my way." No, David said, "Deal gently with him." I think of Stephen in the book of Acts. As he was being stoned, we studied. He said, "Father, lay not this to their charge." Amen. I think of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross of Calvary. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." There's the proof of the action, the work of kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. And I believe we'll win many more people with gentleness and kindness and love, peace, and long-suffering. I believe we'll win many more people. I believe we'll saturate much more if we go in the right way, the right heart, and the right spirit, and say, "Lord, bless it." You know why God will bless it? Because His Word says He will. His Word has taught us and trained us that we are to be that way. So the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. I pray tonight that be active in my life. I've got a long way to go. I mean, I know me better than anybody else knows me. I've got a long way to go, but I pray God help me to be kind. Amen. I pray God help me to be gentle. I pray the Lord help me to work on those things, in those areas in my life where it's abrasive. And sometimes you get just all bent out of shape and you're not kind. And then you have to say, "Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me." The fruit of the Spirit acting in your life. Let it be there. Let that gentleness and that kindness show through that they might see Christ. That's what it's all for, that they might see Christ. Never did see the Lord get out of the way. Never did see Him sin. Never did hear anything out of Him out of the way. Now, He got angry. He had times he got angry at that crowd there in the temple, and He overthrew their tables. But He did it without sinning. And God tells us to be angry and sin not. That's hard to do, but it can be done. Usually when I get angry, I have to go say, "Lord, forgive me for my sin." But we can be angry and sin not. Jesus did. And we're to be Christ-like in our actions, our attitude, everything in our life. To glorify, honor, and put Christ radiating from us. That they might want to be saved. That sinners might come to know Christ. Let's stand together tonight. Our Father, we pray that You would take the words, just simple words from the Scriptures tonight, as we've tried to compare verse with verse and see so many things. Lord, how that we are to be kind one to another. Lord, help us not to hold grudges. Help us, Lord, as we say, to have a chip on our shoulder and just dare someone to knock it off. Lord, I pray that You'd work in our lives and our hearts, that we would be gentle, that we would be kind, we'd be tender-hearted. And God, that we would forgive one another. Lord, we are sinners. I'm thankful we're saved sinners. And therefore we can come and ask forgiveness at the throne of grace. And Father, I pray tonight that You'd help us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. God, that portion of it that we've dealt with, gentleness, might radiate from us, that they might see Christ living in us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number?
Number 359.
359 tonight as we sing. May God help us to have the fruit of the Spirit in our life. Sing together tonight.
There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart.
Says, "Oh Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God." Literally, that's where Jesus came from. That's what He was, the heart of God. His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in gentleness. He came in kindness. He left the same way. He's coming back in wrath. That's the way He's coming back, to bring about judgment upon a world that despises and hates Him. But right now, He says, "Come unto Me, all ye labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." There's the kindness of God. Don't be found in His wrath and in His judgment. Get in the place of constant rest, and that's in salvation. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer tonight. Remember, the service is Sunday morning. Be praying for them. Pray God bless and help us in everything that goes on around here. Just pray one for another. Be kind one to another. Brother